Alrighty, guys. Welcome to another episode of the Strain Forward Podcast. Today's guest is none other than one of my really, really, really good friends from back in Charlotte, North Carolina. His name's Nate Agnew. Today, for you guys, we are going to talk about more on the self-development, more on the self-growth. And Nate is going to share a bit of his story in growing, just growing from basically being a young kid to, and he's still very young, we're both really young, being
right, yeah.
You know, young kid, fresh out of high school, trying to figure out how to like make money and do it, like just be in the fitness industry and do all the things, and then just growing as a person over the years to now where he's like, he's a full-on like legitimate personal trainer, he's a legitimate coach, like he knows a ton about fitness, he helps a ton of people, he understands business now. And just, I think it's going to be really cool for you guys to listen to just the evolution of that over the years. So, without further ado, Mr. Agnew, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, man? Like, you growing up, I don't know, start wherever you want.
Yeah, right. Well, first off, thanks for having me on, man. This is cool. When I first started, you started doing this, I was like, dude, I knew it's always something you kind of had that you wanted to do in the back of your head. So, I was like, man. That's a cool deal he's got. So thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. It's definitely an honor. But as far as, yeah, starting out, man, really just back in high school. That's how I kind of got into the whole thing. I was 14 at the time. I was playing a lot of sports, basketball and baseball mainly. And then a close family friend, actually, David Benham. You're very close with the Benhams. He's friends with my dad. He was like, hey, if Nate wants to get better, he's got to come do this CrossFit thing. Oh, and, you know, this is first, right when CrossFit's first starting out and kind of really taking off and getting a lot of peak interest from people across the world at this point. But yeah, so I came over and met Steve at Vitality. And the next day, my dad dropped me off for my first class. And like we kind of joke around now, the rest is history. Steve kind of always jokes and says, I never really left. Like, my dad just dropped me off. I mean, I can't drive. So my dad just drops me off and I'm just there until he picks me up. So technically he could leave me there all day long and I'm just bothering Steve and Laura and everybody. So, but pretty early on, I just realized like, man, that this is something I really want to do. And I don't know what exactly, where you can put me. I don't know what I'm good at. I'm 15, you know, so I'm probably not good at much, right? But I just remember going to Steve and saying, look, I'll clean your bathrooms. If you'll just allow me to come here and work out. And for me, it was just like, I just wanted to be there, be around the people, be a part of whatever this crazy thing is that everyone here is obsessing over. And now I'm starting to slowly fall into that too. So luckily Steve allows me to, you know, clean the bathrooms. So I start coming in. Once I can drive, which is the next year, start coming in, clean the bathrooms at night, setting up the equipment, just kind of clean the gym, doing that sort of thing. But it was so much fun. Like that's you look back now and you're like, gosh, dude, you know, the old fashioned, like cleaning bathrooms, taking the trash out, you know, just to get a membership or whatever. But I loved it. And I tried to clean as best I could clean and take the trash out as best I, you know, and, so I just knew right then, I was like, man, I'll do anything to be a part of this and really pursue a relationship with Steve and kind of see, well, would I be able to put myself in a position here to make you successful and make myself successful? And so just like I said, I guess I kind of never really went away.
Yeah.
I just stayed there and it was fun for me. I remember, because like I said, at the time I'm in high school, no one else is doing like CrossFit.
Oh, yeah.
Like I'm a senior in high school. I'm walking in with like Reebok Nanos and everyone's like, dude, this is that CrossFit guy. Yeah. And I'm like, no, this is cool. This is you got to meet these people. There's this giant that I work for. this is crazy stuff. And so, it was just different. And I just remember falling in love with it. And then I obviously went on to college for a short little stint there and just realized this isn't my thing. Yeah. And I remember calling Steve and just telling him, being like, this isn't me. Like going to the whole going to class, and people can laugh at it, but I think it's for some people, and I think it's not for others. And unfortunately, it took me a couple $1,000s to realize, hey, man, this probably isn't for me. And I'm not saying that I'm wasting my time, but the way I'm approaching this, I am wasting my time. And the way I saw it was, I'm spending a lot of money here in college, and I'm not truthfully getting a whole lot out of it. And I could be making money doing something that I love to do. So that was kind of the factor. And I remember calling Steve there in the mountains and being like, hey, I don't think this is for me. So, you know, what are your thoughts? And he was like, hey, if you come back down, you got a spot.
And that's so cool that you did that.
That's all I needed. Yeah, that's all I needed to hear. And so right then I was like, boom, semester ended. I was like, I'm leaving, bro. I ain't coming back. And I came home.
I want to hit on this real quick because this is so cool. Like, your wherewithal at that age, like, I felt the same way in college. I was like, this is a waste of time, but I'm going to keep doing it just because
right.
I said I was going to do it. Like, I had that ego tied to, like, I'm going to finish the 4 years.
Right.
I think it's important we hit on this because that had to be really hard. Like, I'm sure part of you was like, I don't want to be in school anymore, and, like, I'm cool with getting made fun of because school kind of sucks.
Right. But
I'm sure that there was a level of, like, unsureness there, or, like, am I making the wrong decision? Is something, like, I can imagine maybe being like, is something wrong with me because I don't like this? Because if you're supposed to go to college, like,
yeah.
Kind of, I want you to unpack that a little bit, dude.
No, for sure. I think, firstly, my whole mindset as I, at, you know, middle school, high school, like, I was going to play college basketball somewhere. So, like, that was my only option in my head. It was like, it could be Division III, it could be Division I, but I'm playing somewhere. And I ended up getting the small kind of offers, not really as big as what you talk about ego, as my ego wanted. So I was like, you know what, I'm just going to go to a bigger school and enjoy college, enjoy a bigger atmosphere, enjoy, you know, the lifestyle of a college kid and not have to be so tied down to practices and doing all this stuff if I really don't want to play. So yeah. I said, fine, let's go to school. Also got to realize on an academic level, I definitely didn't put myself, you know, didn't take it as serious in high school as I should have. You don't do that. You don't get into the academic schools that you want to get into. So all your friends are getting into App State, Charlotte, NC State, Carolina, all, you know, every, and I'm not getting anywhere academically. The only places I'm getting in is for basketball, and they're small schools that I don't really want to go to, and I'm barely making the academic, you know, grade. So already I'm not like, I go to Rowan, which is a small community college. Then I transfer to Appalachian State. Just haven't had a good taste in my mouth of college from the beginning. Because in my head, I walk on campus to RCCC. I mean, it's smaller than my high school. And I'm like, bro, this is not what I thought I'd see myself like day one. I thought it would be like freshman stepping on campus. I'm going to have a schedule. This is how I like practice, all this stuff. And so in my head, I'm here and I'm like, dang, I ain't supposed to, this ain't it. Like, yeah. I'm supposed to be doing something else. And I was like, I can't just sit here and go to class. And I know that sounds crazy, but that's just me. So I worked hard, ended up getting into App State. I remember being psyched about that because I was like, cool, this is the college thing I wanted to live. So I get to live it now. And then, yeah, I went and I, you know, I had fun and everything. It was cool, but it just wasn't me. And it took me about probably 2 semesters to realize that. And I remember getting in arguments with professors. And not like in a disrespectful way, but like at the end of class, like I would get a test back or something. I would study my butt off for it. I mean, staying up all night, doing whatever I had, studying, dude, being like, I'm not passing. Like I'm passing this test. Work my butt off, stay up all night, go in, take the test, get the test back next day, get a D on it. And I walk in, and after class, I'm looking at my teacher like, listen, all right. And this is statistics, which I took like 3 times. So I'm like, listen, this ain't working out, okay? I said, here's why it's not working out. I said, because I just stayed up all night to study for this test. I came the next morning. I took the test. I came home. And I was so exhausted. I was so tired because I've been up the whole night. I fall asleep. I wake up to the coach calling me to the class that I'm supposed to be coaching. So it's like I just stayed up all night, spent all this time to get a D, and now I'm losing money because I'm missing the class that I should. So, you know, there's excuses for everything, right? But everything just started to compile. So I remember talking to professors like, I could be back here doing what I love, making money, and instead I'm staying up all night to study for a test to get a D on it. And I know you'd be like, well, study harder. Well, it wasn't for me, bro.
Yeah.
So I just knew right then, and once I got the app, I was like, this is cool and everything, but everybody else, it seems like it's really easy for them. Like, no one's studying. Everybody's partying, going to classes, getting A's. And I'm partying, going to classes, getting D's. So it's like, this ain't, how are y'all doing this? And so, yeah, it didn't take me long. And I was like, nah, man, this ain't fun. I'm wasting my money. And I was like, there's so many opportunities back home at Vitality and you know, with the opportunities here. So I was like, it was just a no brainer. It was hard. I mean, but it was such a no brainer for me. And I was so tired of school and class and just the whole, it was weird for a minute, but I felt good when I got home. I tell you that.
Yeah. I bet. I mean, yeah, I think there's a level of that where, like, on one side of the coin, sure, you could have the argument of, you need to be more disciplined. You need to do this. You need to do that. Blah, blah, blah. But then the other side of it is looking at it from a business perspective. It's like, if something's not working in business, like, one of the best things you can do, like, you might have to tweak it, whatever. But at a certain point, you got to cut your losses and be like, I got to go in a different direction.
Yeah, you got to adapt at some point.
Yeah, you got to adapt. And so it sounds like you were in that place where you're like, yeah, I'm going to go do this. And going to make money. Dude, I didn't have the thought of making money until, like, I don't know, 6 months ago. And so, like, the fact that you were doing that at a young age, I think, is really cool. And the people who do that, I've found that they seem to be a lot better off. Like, they go into a trade or they go into something making money rather than spending tens of thousands of dollars in school. There's a whole debate there that people have.
Yeah. That's a different podcast. I would go for hours.
Yeah. I think if you're in a position like where you or I was, like, I studied PE. It's like, dude, I'm not going to be a PE teacher. I wasted $30,000 learning physical education, and they didn't teach me jack crap, bro. I should have went and made money somewhere.
Yeah, bro. It's frustrating. It's frustrating.
Yeah. So tell me what it was like once you got back, you get back into coaching. Like, what was that like? Where'd you start? And then, you know, walk me through that.
Yeah, at that point, I was still just so young. I just look back and it's like, you know, Lambert and Justin, and then you came in right after that. We were all just so young. I was like 20, 19, dude. 20, 20, whatever it was.
Yeah.
That was my first thing was, all right, well, I got my foot in the door. Like, I've established that I can clean the bathrooms and you know, take that responsibility and do well with that, as little as that is, as a little bit younger. Now I've got my foot in the door. We're like, all right, I'm not just like helping and working out. I'm actually employed here. Like, this is a real thing and I'm getting paid. And so let's do the thing. But it still takes time, man. I think that's what people don't realize is I got into this wanting to be a coach and a trainer, and I still love those things. Don't get me wrong. But when you first start, you're not a very good coach and you're not a very good trainer. And in order to make money, you have to be good. It is just like anything else. Right. So It took me some time to get good in front of a class. It took me some time to get good one-on-one. I mean, I think people say it all the time. Be like, oh, man, I'll go up there. Somebody said it at noon. I wrote on, what day was it? It was like Thursday or Friday. And it was like 1 minute before class, and I was just kind of talking to some people, and they were like, hey, I want to coach class today. I said, please.
Yeah, go for it.
I'll sit right there. Well, I'll watch this whole thing unfold. So it's a little bit tougher. I think it's not the toughest thing in the world, but it's a little bit tougher than people think. So in order to get good in that and really be able to control room, control class, and then evolve that into a one-on-one setting where it's just, you know, you and another individual in a personal training environment, how to create relationships in that environment, because that's really the key with, I think, when it comes to one-on-one personal training. It just took time early on. It just took time. It took reps. It took coaching classes. It took opening and closing. You know, you're there early. You're there late. You know, you're doing a lot of 7 to 8 p.m. classes. You know, because you're new, and you know, yes, that's how you start off. And you got to get the respect and gain those, you know, of those classes, and then you kind of just how it goes. So, learning a lot and then just trying to continue to evolve and make a little bit of money. But at first, I didn't make a whole lot of money. If you remember, our apartment was like, what was it, $550?
No, so we were spending, each was $275. We were spending $275 each a month. And then actually me and my brother, we talked about this because I had him on the podcast. When he moved in with us, it went down to 183%,
and we were freaking out.
Bro. That's for a month. Yeah. That's crazy.
We were just like, Cody, you can't leave, dude. I can't go back to 275.
Stay here forever, dude. That was so funny.
Man. Yeah, we were
bare boning it, man. Like,
oh yeah.
Not making much at all.
I remember you told me that. And I remember doing like the math wrong. I thought you said $500 a month. So I was like, all right, it's 2.25 piece. So, and at the time, no kidding, I was making less than $500 a month. No question.
Yeah.
No question. So I was like, all right, if it's 225, that means I'll have 225 for myself. And then you came back and you're like, it's 275. And I was like, oh man, that's a little bit more thin than I thought. But obviously we swing it, dude, that was, you know, that was wild. Just in a time there where I think maybe we didn't realize it, but I think we were probably actually both able to save a little bit of money just because our overhead was so cheap.
Yeah, dude, that was really
crazy. We weren't making a ton of money, but we were able to still save some money because we got, you know, because of the relationships we established and we got really nice people that looked out for us and hooked us up.
The Benhams, if anybody listening, if you do one thing today, go look up the Benham brothers.
Yeah,
they truly are incredible dudes, and so they're realtors amongst many other things. The authors, like, they're just great. They are the ones that hooked us up with this rental property, and they gave us a crazy stupid deal.
Yeah,
it was awesome. Yes, if you do anything today, go look up the Benham brothers. They're strong believers. Like, they're super smart business dudes. Like, it's just crazy.
They're cool. I love them.
But let me ask you this. When you first started coaching, what was the hardest thing for you to overcome? Was it, because I don't think it would be for you, I don't think you'd say public speaking, because you were already like really good and social. But if it was, I'm curious, like, what was the hardest thing?
The first thing that probably pops in my head is just explaining the workout too fast.
Yeah. Oh, dude.
Like, that's just, and Steve would always, you know, have me, as soon as you start, clock your watch. You know, try to hit, you know, what it was, a 5 to 7 minute range somewhere in there at the time, just because it's like you've got to figure out some filler words, and it can't just be 21-15-9 pull-ups, thrusters, 95-65, and go. And everyone's just standing there like, wait. So that probably, first, I didn't mind talking in front of people. I don't think that's nerve-wracking, I think, for anybody. But for me, I remember at a young age, in school and having to do like class presentations, and people, kids freaking out.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And for me, I was just like, I was nervous, but as soon as I saw other people like just absolutely losing it, that they had to go up there and speak in front of other people, I was like, I'll do that. No problem. I was like, if everyone is to get this scared, I was like, it can't be that bad. I was like, we're just doing what we do at the lunch table. Like, there's no difference.
But, it is funny the difference of like people's, like, just their demeanors and their personalities and who gets super nervous. Yeah, I remember when I started coaching, that was one of the first things for me too. It's like, I would always, this was really sobering for me, I thought I was doing a good job explaining the workout, and then I created my own survey. It's when I was interning at Western. It was for the volleyball chicks. I coached the volleyball athletes, and I was like, would y'all mind filling out the survey for me? Because I want to know if I did a good job or not. And one of them said that like my hair wasn't like spiky enough or something. They were just being,
oh my god, these college volleyball girls.
Yeah, it was funny. But then one girl said that I didn't do a good job of explaining the workouts, and I was like, huh, I thought I did a great job. And I quickly realized that like you have to really explain like everything.
Yeah,
you can't overlook any aspect of it, because anything to you, it comes so easy to you, but not to others. So you literally have to break down every single aspect and do it in a really concise, entertaining way, and that can be really challenging.
Yeah, and then coach a Saturday class where you have 26 people and you have to make teams and 10 of those 26 people signed up at 9:58 and you didn't know they were coming and now you have to redo all your teams. So just little stuff like
I appreciate
it just,
that.
It just keeps getting, you know, there's just different challenges to different classes you coach, and that's why starting off, you coach the little bit easier classes to get a feel and to get those nerves out of the way so that when you do coach a bigger class, there's no one can argue anybody with that. You put five people in front of me and you put 25 people in front of me, there is a different feel to that class. It just physically, I mean, it is a different environment right off the bat. So the way you're going to coach them and explain that workout in front of the 25 is going to be different, more than likely. It probably shouldn't be, but it's going to be different, a little bit more intense than it is with just a handful of people.
Yeah, and that, I think too, like that also plays into people's ability, like your ability to like sell, because like at the end of the day, like you're selling the membership, but you're selling like the ideology of this fitness thing and what you're doing. And so you really have to learn like how to approach different personalities, the tonality, the inflection of your voice, the way you command a 5-person group to a 25-person group, like all of those things. And then it plays into your actual ability to go just to do life better. Like, it's really interesting how that all plays in.
Yeah.
I mean, have you found that with yourself?
With what do you mean with just how, with like blending in the classes?
Well, just like, your like the evolution of your coaching ability, has it made like your interactions with just people in general, like you just can handle social situations better?
Oh yeah, 100%, 100%. But I think one of the biggest things that I've realized is outside of this bubble, it's not. I don't control it. I get so used to being in here and just developing relationships with all these members and the coworkers. Has that helped me from a communication standpoint on a social level? Yes, 100%.
Yeah.
But the thing that I've realized the most is that it's like you've been here. So I'm in this bubble all day, every day. I dictate, you know, I'm not the owner, but my clients, my classes, all that kind of thing, my schedule, I dictate pretty much everything that I can control. Yeah. And as soon as I get out of these four walls, I got to remind myself, hey, you're not in control here. There are 200 other people on Poplar Tent Road with you. All right. You're not the only one. So just stupid stuff like that I got to realize, like, all right, it's a very inside this bubble is very different than everybody on the outside. Not necessarily good or bad way, but just different.
Yeah. Now tell me this, your fitness, I know your fitness journey has, because when I was, your fitness journey has definitely ebbed and flowed, maybe different than someone like myself who like competed in the sport. It was like do or die. If I don't work out, I'm a piece of crap. Like that was my mindset. Your fitness journey has definitely ebbed and flowed where you've been in it, but at times you've been more fit and at times you've been less fit. So I would love for you to hit on like just how that's evolved over time, what you found to be, I guess, most helpful for yourself and what you found the most success in with the workout routine. And maybe even like the why behind you were training at different times. I'd love to hear a little bit about that.
Yeah, that's a good question. That's a good question. I think I've just done it so long, and I think starting out, it's gonna sound like I'm making excuses, but I'll just tell you what my thoughts are on it. Starting out, you got to realize I'm getting my stuff punched in every morning. Every single morning at 7:30 in the morning for years.
Yeah.
So, which was amazing for me. It was great for me. It did a lot of good. And then you think about that, and that was kind of being a kid in high school. Then you get into college, you start training with Steve and Beatty and Bird, and like these are the best of the best. And once again, getting your stuff smashed in, day out. Then you kind of go into training with you a little bit, smashed in, day out. I remember you would get so mad because I would like talk crap to you if I would, like, if we would play basketball and I would win and you would get pissed. And I'd be like, dude, you put my stuff in the ground all day long, every day in these workouts. This is the one thing I've won. So I'm going to have this. Okay. And I would just be like, I know I shouldn't be running my mouth, and I get why he's frustrated, but he has destroyed me in every workout for the past 6 months and I'm tired of it.
That's hilarious. For people who don't know, Nate is incredible at basketball. Like, very incredible.
Well, not anymore, if anything. But then, yeah, so train with you, go into that, then go right into training with Spencer. We're kind of on and off for a little bit. And that, once again, you know, it's tough. So for me, it's, as far as an intensity perspective, I think there was somewhere along the way that I was like, okay, I'm not training for regionals. There was a short time when I was younger when me and Lambert were like really in it and we're like, we're going to do this. And we realized how good you have to be. And I was like, okay, I don't think I want to do that. And that's kind of where it was. Like, you have to, at some point, you're going to have to answer that question. Do you want to marry it and try to get there or try to get to regionals, try to get the games? Or, kind of going back to what we talked to, do you want to spend a little bit more time making money or doing a social thing or whatever? Yeah. And so for me, it was, man, I've done these workouts and all this stuff for all these years. I don't want to stop. I might want to lessen the intensity and volume instead of training 3-4 times a day and then going in on Saturdays and doing all that crazy crap that we used to do. It's terrible.
Yeah, we used to do some dumb stuff.
And so, yeah, I think, and that's certainly probably a level of laziness along the way that I've had to wrestle with, of just being, hey, like, you don't have to train like you're going to regionals, but, you know, also don't, you know, do nothing, you know, be active, go and, you know, be consistent. And so I think that's one of the things that I've found over the past couple of years, training with Bird. Not that anybody I've trained with bad, obviously, just where I'm at right now. And just kind of the workload that we have and kind of figuring out and actually trying to figure out my body and not just whatever that whiteboard says, man, we're doing it. We're doing all of it. We're doing it RX and no ifs, ands, or buts. And you kind of have to sit back at the end of the day and you're like, all right, well, did I actually get better today? Did I actually get more fit? Am I going to be able to train tomorrow at a good intensity? Kind of all those things kind of piling together. And like I said, there's certainly some excuses in there. But yeah, I think now I'm finally to the point, or I don't want to say finally, it's probably been a couple of years where it's just what you do. You just train.
Yeah.
There's no and it's, I've done this for so many years, I think too, that it's, man, our view of working out is so much different than your regular people. And I'm not saying we're better because of it.
No, it's just different.
I'm just saying you put in 15 years of working out every single day and putting in time and trying to eat right and sleep. And even, let's call it your 70-30. Let's just call your 70 good, 30 bad. 10 plus years of anything, that's a lot, right? So you've put that time in. You know what that's like. Just really just listening to my body and figuring out how can I actually get fit efficiently.
Yeah.
Not just being dumb and then getting hurt and then not being able to do certain things and just because you're, you know, being young and stupid, but actually growing up a little bit and being smart with it.
No, I'm glad you're hitting on that, because I find that to be, it's a balance between you training for regionals or the games like I was. And it's like, okay, you're trying to crush your soul 95% of the time. And if you're not, you're literally doing nothing. Every workout is balls. And then there's the other side of it where people will use not training for that as like a cop-out for laziness. And so, like, there will be people who are like, I'm not training for the game, so I'm just here to sweat. And it's like, what you're really saying is, like, you don't really want to try right now.
Right, yeah.
And so it's a balance between that one extreme and the other. It's like you still have to put a level of intensity in, and there's an appropriate level of intensity for every single person based on where they're at and their goals and whatever. And it takes time to figure that out, because there's no, like, you know this, there's no such thing as just like, I'm just staying right here and maintain. No. Right. You're getting worse, you're getting better.
Right.
You've got to make a decision, and the level of betterness you want will vary, like with the intensity and the volume and all the things, but like, you got to be pushing forward in that regard, or else you are literally getting worse.
Right.
It's a very interesting dichotomy there.
Yeah. I think once you realize, just like you said, find that balance. Once you realize, like, every day I'm training with Kyle. Okay, well, Nate, I'm not training for regionals. He's training for regionals. I'm just training with him.
Yeah.
And so if I don't do everything that he does, that's okay.
Yeah, A through Z.
Yeah, oh, gosh. And so, and then mentally, it just starts to just take a toll where you're like, man, first of all, I suck. I'm like, why am I even doing all this? I'm not getting any better. I'm not beating him. I'm not beating Steve. I'm not beating Beatty. I'm still younger. I'm still not as strong. I'm still, you know, and then you just kind of get in your head and all this crap. And you're like, man, this sucks. When in reality, it doesn't. I look back and the workouts are hard. But it's, you know, I look back and it's the same thing I think with Steve. Like, I cherish every workout I work out with Steve, because one day I won't be able to work out. Same thing with you. Like, one of those days, one day was our last training session, you know? So it was like, man, I really try not to take those for granted now. Same thing with Bird. Every day it's like, man, I love Bird. I love coming down at one and working out with you. And so that kind of thing shifted big for me. It was like, man, that big one with Steve. Because I was like, one day, I mean, when it's all said and done, in 20 years, we're not going to be in this exact spot. So, okay, that could be the day. So I just started taking it a little more serious and really listening to my body, and then not taking it as serious, I should say.
Man, that was extremely profound right there. And that was really, that was dude. That got me in my feels.
Yeah,
That's a great perspective to have, man. Like, one day will be your last of. I mean, you could put anything on the end of that sentence.
Yeah.
One day, your last whatever, and that is a very interesting way to look at things. And it certainly makes you like want to capitalize on the things you have the ability to do right now.
Yeah, for sure. It's like Saturdays, like Saturday mornings. I was thinking about that when I was driving over here to the gym. Saturday mornings suck. Like, the workouts are terrible, right? Because everybody's pushing, it's competitive. And it's funny because almost every Saturday morning in the middle of the workout, you know, you're thinking the same thing. Like, gosh, man, four more minutes, three more minutes, and we're done. And, dude, every Saturday when I get done and I catch my breath, I'm like, dang it, it's over.
Mm-hmm.
And I look around, I see everybody. You know, there's usually a big group, and I'm like, I had so much anticipation for this whole morning, and I had a great morning. Like, we lift and then we do the workout, and right when it's done, I'm like, oh no, it's done.
Yeah.
And you were like, man, but that's where you try to take back, and you're like, no, that just hour and a half. I was here with everybody else, and it was another great Saturday morning. So that type of perspective of just being grateful to be able to physically go out there and do it. And then just loving the people you do it with and realizing, hey, man, we're doing something good for ourselves. We're doing a healthy thing, a good thing. And it's fun to do it beside you. And I hope I get to do it again tomorrow. So,
dude, that's such a great that's a mic drop moment right there, brother.
I don't know about that.
that's great. When I clip this out for Instagram Reels, I'm going to take that clip right there. That was spectacular, dude.
Yeah, dude.
You're so right, man, because – and now that I'm in this space and I'm working with a lot of people in fitness, I guess in the online, I'm back into fitness. You've been in there and you probably see this all the time. It's like, you have to convince people that like that fitness is good.
Yeah.
You have to remind, they know it, but you got to remind them, and you got to really like shift the way that they think and their framework around it and into that perspective of, mm-hmm. man, this isn't infinite. Like, this is finite. Like, these good moments, these fun moments, these things, like, this is one of those things, and it's not going to be there forever. And it's just, you start to look at it as like, this is a fun thing to go do. This is like, I get to do this. I don't have to do this. You know what I mean?
And you have the physical ability to, man. You got that's a big thing that you just can't take for granted. Is some people can't walk in here and work out, man. So the fact that I'm able to walk on my hands is still just like blows my mind. Like God gave us these incredible bodies and we can do amazing things with them. And if your amazing thing is two walking lunges, then that's your amazing thing, man. And that you're able to be physical and continue to come in the gym every day and, you know, use what God gave you. This is an incredible machine when you really sit down and look at it, what the body can do when you do what you're supposed to do with it. It's from a physical perspective. It's just if you're physically able, man, I think you're doing yourself a dishonor to not at least move around and be active.
100%. I agree with that, man. So what are you and Bird doing now? What's your training look like?
He's actually following Taylor Self.
Oh, yeah?
I think it's Taylor Self. Yeah, in Charlotte, right? Who's got some crazy work, has got some crazy workouts. A lot of, like, every 5 for 30, every 6 times 8, you know, whatever it is, kind of almost interval work in a way.
Yeah.
Bird can't squat right now, so.
Oh, wow.
It's like knees. Kind of weird. It's like, I don't know, something screwed up with it. But so I haven't really been squatting as much as I. That changes tomorrow. Don't worry. I've already made some notes. Me and him getting after it. We'll work out Monday. Tuesdays are big bench days, which are fun. That's another one where it's over and then you're like, dang, I can't believe it's over. Except for those. Some days I'm glad those are over because I say bench workouts. And then next thing you know, the bike gets rolled over. And if you start failing bench reps, you guys start doing bike sprints. And then it just keeps going south from there. So a lot of pressure gets put on.
It can't just be simple. It can't just be like, hey, we're going to do 5 sets of 5 bench press. It's like, no, we're going to make this incredibly hard.
Yeah. We're not just going to get good. We're going to get gooder. And that's his mindset with it. But yeah, Tuesdays are a bench day that we usually get a ton of volume in. Wednesdays, me and Bert will train again. Thursdays, usually rest. And Friday mornings, me and Steve always do the 6 a.m. CrossFit class.
Oh, nice. Cool. Yeah.
So that's awesome. We'll do that. And then he does jiu-jitsu Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. So he goes out front. He makes the joke all the time that I'll like try to sneak up on him. And he'll be like, dude, I'm a trained killer. Like, what are you? And then I'll laugh. And then I'll think about it and be like, well, you are actually, like, by definition.
There could not be a more picture-perfect version of, like, who you would imagine as, like, the trained killer to come get you as Smithy Pinkerton, who will be on here Thursday. So you guys will get to
see. Very nice.
Dude, he is 6'5". What does he weigh now? 230, 235?
Yeah, 235, 240 maybe.
And it's like solid. Like, he's maybe... what, 10 or 11% body fat, something like that?
He's lean, too. So.
I mean, he's very lean, incredibly strong. He's got a beard that
lean is, but thick. He's lean but big, like that kind of. He's going to kill me if I say he's lean. He's like lean but big, you know?
He's thick with 3 C's, bro. Yeah.
And so now imagine he's doing that, training jiu-jitsu 3 days a week, and then his obsessive personality getting good at jiu-jitsu very quickly, and then him then coming over to the gym and jiu-jitsuing Nate. Who doesn't know the moves, right? So I've learned that at any point if I'm around him, I just keep my hands here because I don't want to give him the underhook. If he takes the underhook, then my arm gets taken, and then I get folded up into a pretzel.
And he's like, oh, yeah, cool, it worked.
Dude, it is excruciating. Anybody who does jiu-jitsu, I have a whole new respect for him because when the things they do and their abilities to apply pressure – and to get you in certain positions to where you can sit there and look at the TV and say, man, just slip out of there. You can do that all day long until you're actually in one of these positions and it's night. Like you're done.
Yeah.
And then have Steve doing it to you. So there's not a whole lot of mercy. The fun part in it is I do like to kind of scrap around, you know that. and we haven't scrapped around with each other for anybody watching. but we the cool sometimes. Yeah. But it's cool because me and Steve can go at each other as hard as humanly possible and know we're not going to hurt each other.
Yeah.
So it's like almost like a human punching bag that I can't hurt, that I could be as aggressive as I want to be, but he's going to be more aggressive. And when he gets his knee on my sternum right here and just start to drive into my rib cage, that's not so fun. And that's then, not- yeah, and then you got to do a bench press set and a bike sprint. So it's all in one.
That is so funny. It's, yeah, Steve, I'm going to highlight this when I have him on, but and I hope I don't make him uncomfortable. But Steve's also a very great picture of what Jordan Peterson talks about, where you want to be incredibly dangerous and have the ability to, like, literally kill. Like, you want to be physically dangerous.
But you control it.
And, but also balance that with being, like, totally self-controlled, incredibly gentle, incredibly loving, incredibly kind. And Steve, like, really is a great picture of that because, I mean, he's a fantastic boss. He's a great father, great business owner, like, all the things. I'm sure he would say he's not all day long, and he has his flaws, I know. But, like, you put those two together, it's like, man, it's pretty awesome to see.
Yeah, yeah. You want to be a monster, but you want to be able to control it. And he does a phenomenal job of that. Yeah, when you say it like that, he really does.
We'll finish up with this because this is a funny story I was thinking about when we were talking about coaching. Do you remember when me, you, Lambert, I think Besser was in on it, but we were trying to put like a random word into our coach.
Oh yeah, that's great. It's good stuff.
And your word one day was, it wasn't even a word, it was a sentence. It was USDA choice buck steak.
Yeah.
You had to work that into what you were in your coaching spiel. Yeah. And you were like, all right, guys, today we're going to get jacked, like USDA choice buck steak. And everyone's like, what?
And you lost it. I remember, because we were coaching together side by side. And I turned and you were like, hey, you lost it. And
I could not believe, face. I mean, you just like owned it, said it. I was like, this is hilarious. He just dropped this on these people.
Those are the best, man. You have to give the coach a word and you got to say it, bro. You got to say it.
Mine was Texas, and one time it was Texas, and I was like, all right, F it. I'm going to send it. I had no idea how I was going to work it in, so I was in the middle of, like, describing a 21-15-9. So I was like, we got 21 thrusters, 15 pull-ups, Texas, 9 burpees.
You just got to throw it in there, bro. All you got to do is say it.
Dude, no one noticed. No one said a thing. I remember I looked back and everyone was like, oh, cool. Yeah, Texas.
Yeah, bro. If you can't fit word in, as soon as I get the class's attention, be like, all right, guys, we're going to go ahead and get started. Antelope. And we're going to do a 32. Like, no, I'm not. If I can't fit it in, I'll just say it. I don't care. I'll fit it in somewhere.
Dude, yeah, we used to have a lot of fun doing that. It made it really entertaining. We'd be sitting in the back of the class, like watching each other.
Yeah, dude. That's one thing I miss, man, is there's definitely, to this day, I still feel it. I don't feel it as much because it's just like anything else. You do something for a long time and, you know, these feelings or moments start to be few and far between. But every once in a while, if it's a noon class or a 5 p.m. or a 9 a.m., whatever it is, and the music's going and it's loud and everybody's moving and the room is almost physically moving.
Yeah.
And it's for me as a coach is such a high, it's a crazy feeling, but it's like, man, everything that I've dreamt of is in this setting right here. Like everything is flowing. You've coached everything well. CrossFit's moving. EvoFit's moving. Music's going. Everybody's had doors are open and it's just like it is the weirdest, most unexplainable high that I could ever explain. And you get that a lot. I got that all the time when you're coaching on the other side, when Lambert's coaching on the other side, when Justin, you know, whoever it is. And same thing, like those days, man, like gosh, those I never, because I'm not going to sit there and tell you guys, you know, hey, after a long day, you guys, I had a great day today because the music. I'm not going to sit there, but man, I look back and even at the time, I remember like, don't take this for granted, this feeling of whatever this feeling is. And like I said, as I get older, you don't get it that much anymore, but every once in a while you'll get it. And it's just like, yep, it's still here. It's still here. That's my feel. I think if I ever completely stop feeling that, that'll be the day to be like, all right, well, maybe you don't need to coach anymore, but I think that's a long ways off. But having you and doing that back in the day, man, like just two friends doing it too, like that you can't explain to people and they can laugh about it all you want, but there is no cooler feeling than just coaching the absolute piss out of the class. And it just is everybody's flowing, man. It's a weird feeling, but it's an amazing feeling.
Oh, I agree, man. It's a lot of fun. So what's next for you, dude? But what's next for Mr. Agnew? I know you're going to stay in this industry for a while, but you know, what's next?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think I'll wait a couple months for this election, not one way or the other. Obviously, not going to get into that, but probably looking to get a house soon. Not soon, but next 6 to 12 months, somewhere in there. Got a couple things I've looked at. But just still waiting on the right time. It's hard to justify paying, you know, what the prices are right now. But that's probably as far as big steps. I'd like that to be one of my next big steps. Maybe just have my brother live with me. But I do have a couple of houses. I'll actually send them to you because you would really like them as a buddy of mine I went to high school with. He's a really cool guy. And I guess, he just started building houses. And they are sick. Like, really? they're not big or anything. They're not super big. But they're also not like tiny houses, but they're just new. They're new and they're new agey. And the way I don't know if he designs them or it's a package, but whatever, I'll send it to you. But I hit him up and I was like, yo, how much are these? And he sent me the price and I was like, yo, these are sick. So like I said, I'll send them to you. But yeah, something like that as far as big steps, but small steps, just looking to keep doing this every day. Same thing. Kind of like Groundhog Day a little bit, but I still love it, man. It's not many people that I've met are sitting right here at 2:30 on a Sunday and can't wait for tomorrow morning at 5 a.m. I'm not saying that to sound cool or anything like that. I just know that I'm super lucky to be. I can't wait for Mondays. That's something Steve's always said too. I've always looked forward to Mondays. I don't know many people that do, but I love Mondays. Just start the week again, get back in the flow of things and keep everything going.
That's cool, man. Wow.
What about you? What you getting into? What's next?
Next for me is I'm going to keep really the next year and a half is going to look a lot like Groundhog Day for me too, where it's going to be this, where it's just going to be content, just pushing the business and trying to grow it, trying to help people and just create a brand. I mean, that's really the whole thing. You're witnessing the origin story. If anybody out there's listening to this podcast number 7, you're witnessing the origin story of me trying to create a brand. So we'll see how it works out. Either going to see epic failure or we're going to succeed.
Well, you're going to find out, but you got to do it to find out. You know what I mean?
Dude, 100%. Yeah. That's, you got to do it to find out, man. You got to step into the unknown.
Yep. Or you're going to be in the same spot, you know? That's what I'm trying to do too, is expand, get out a little bit more, do newer things, you know, don't just, as much as I love all this, that's one, also another big thing I've learned is that this ain't everything. And as much as sometimes I just want it to be, and I want it to be that simple, and this is a little world that I can live in, but there's a lot of stuff out there, and, you know, try to not take this too seriously at the same time. So still enjoy life, but that's good, dude. I'm glad you're doing this. You're trying to create something. Not many people create something. That's one thing that Andy's taught me a lot is, and it's not easy to, and not everybody wants to, cause they don't want to know if they'll succeed or they'll fail. They don't even start. So by what you're doing, putting all this content, you got like 58,000 followers. That's crazy. On Instagram. I saw that the other day. I was like, yo, that's 100 followers.
Yeah. It's insane.
That's wild. Yeah, I have like 600. One post blow up.
I had one post blow up a few months ago. I said something about like how you used to do core in your 20s until you figured out what actually works. And for whatever reason, I mean, dude, it just took off. Like, I was refreshing my feed. And it was like every minute, 100 new followers, 100 new followers. 100, I was watching the views count up by the thousands, like every like swipe down and a refresh.
Are you like freaking out?
Yeah, because it was what I wanted for several months. I was posting 3 reels a day for months, losing followers. I had like 2250. I went down to like low 2100s. And I was like, I'm doing the wrong thing. I'm losing followers. And then that one post hit, dude, and took off.
That's what it is, though. I don't reckon there's really a rhyme or reason. As long as, from what I've heard, it's just content, and just keep posting.
That's it, man.
That's what they say. I'm the last person I talked to. I hadn't posted on Instagram since 2015. I hate it.
We need to upgrade your Instagram.
Yeah, we do. We need to delete every photo. I'm going to do that probably. And then just have, then it's just me to check like DMs and stuff.
Yeah.
That's all it's for is just honest. If you look on my phone right now, if you go on my Instagram, it is DMs from Andy, Johnny, my brother, and Bird, and Lambert. That's it.
That's hilarious.
And some from Steve. Like, that's all I use Instagram for. That's when I lost my phone for like a week. I was like, I don't care.
Yeah, that's actually probably a really great feeling. Because if I lost my phone right now, I'd have a heart attack.
Well, it wasn't a very good feeling. And there was a lot of ups and downs. But we made it through. And we got a fully functioning phone back. So it is what it is. If I was put in like the 1800s, I think I'd be way better at life. But here we are.
Yeah, I agree with that.
That's probably next step. I don't know, not next, but at some point I would like to live, like, I know Steve just talked about it, but wherever, I would like to get out west maybe, or just somewhere cool. It doesn't necessarily have to be out west, but somewhere cool. That hit me the other day that I was like, man, because I love Concord, you know me, I love Concord. And it hit me the other day, I was like, man, when my folks pass, I got, and like with this gym, like, you know, whatever, in 20 years or 30 years, what, it's like, I ain't got nothing here anymore, you know, not in a sad way, but it's like, I want to do something different.
Yeah.
So that would be cool too, getting out and getting somewhere different, seeing somewhere, starting something maybe new, but that's years down the road. I'm cool with just doing it right now. I'll worry about that later.
Yeah. Wait, how old are you right now? You're 29?
Yeah.
When do you turn 30?
Next April.
Okay, so you got a little while.
How old are you?
31. I'll be 32 in February, dude.
How old do you feel?
Honestly, I feel like I'm coming into my physical peak, which is kind of crazy.
Okay, that's good to hear.
I feel really good, really strong, really fit. Like, it's actually kind of insane.
Still single leg deadlifting 295, like a gorilla. Me and Bert talk about that all the time. Like, we're doing deadlifts. Oh, here's Kyle, single leg deadlift. 295 for 10. Like, that's not, you're not supposed to be able to do that. Not single leg.
I tried some pretty crazy things back in the day.
Tried. You did it. Like, I saw you post one like 4 days ago. You're still doing it. You're still single leg deadlifts with your boar's head hamstrings just hanging off the bone. It's the biggest quads and hamstrings I've ever seen. And it's gross. We've talked about it before.
Every time I post something on my story of me doing something leg-related, I get at least 4 or 5 DMs commenting about my quads and hamstrings. At least. Like, immediately. They're like, dude, your legs. I'm like, yeah, they're big.
Not the point of the post, but okay.
Appreciate it. Well, bro, I really appreciate you hopping on, man. This is really fun.
And I'm glad to
catch up. I think people are going to get a lot of value out of this, just listening to just two dudes really just trying to grow up and figure life out, essentially.
Yeah, that's
really all we've been doing.
Yeah, so, that's all it is at the end of the day.
Yeah, man. I'm excited for you, dude. We got to keep in touch. I'm definitely going to have you on again.
Yeah.
And let's chat about even more stuff, man, because I know we didn't really get to dive into even – I mean, we both got some deep things that happen, and maybe one day we'll share it, but – you know, we'll cross that bridge when we get there. I think it'd be really cool for people.
So. Yeah, for sure. Well, like I said, dude, thanks for having me on, man. It was fun. I really appreciate it.
Welcome, man. All right, you guys listening out there, watching on YouTube, thank you again for tuning in. Stay tuned for the next episode when it comes out. And as always, keep moving forward.